Thank you, Randall, for always lifting me up in song. And it takes us, it's a kind of a special time when we have a special song that takes us into the Word of God, and I appreciate it very much. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Well, Father, this morning, our desire is to please you. We do that when we worship you and when we recognize that you are our Creator, the one who loves us, the one who has shed grace and mercy in our lives, the one who always was, who is, and always be for us. And as we open your word this morning, my prayer is that you will teach us wisdom that is from the Spirit, not of this world. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is a special Sunday morning worship service edition. Our pastor's been on vacation this past week, and so I'm standing in for him today. I started the Ten Commandments series in February of 2007, and I didn't finish them. We're not going to finish them today, but we are going to do one of them. We're going to do number 8. So that means there are at least 2 more, and if the Lord tarries and the opportunity comes, we'll cover those last 2 when I'm up here. Number 8, from Exodus 20, verse 15. The title of the sermon this morning is, Stop, Thief! So you know what this commandment is. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. By the way, this commandment appears 8 times in the Scriptures. In Leviticus, it says, do not steal. In Deuteronomy, you shall not steal. In Matthew, do not steal, from the words of Jesus. In Mark, do not steal. In Luke, do not steal. In Romans, do not steal. And in Ephesians 4:28, steal no longer. That would kind of imply that it's an important issue in our lives. 8 times, 4 little words appear. There must be some significance to those 4 little words. I would propose to you that we have all, every one of us, without fail, stolen something in our lives. Could it be that we're all thieves? Could it be that we're all stealers? I think that we all are. We have a very wicked heart, all of us, including me. We have, Satan is always attempting us, and sin crouches at our door, trying to cause us to fall into sin. And we often fall into sin. We also hurt ourselves. You know, I remember when I was 12 or 13 years old, several of us young boys had left my hometown of Welder and we'd gone over to Moulton, Texas. Most of you don't know where Moulton is. My mother plays bingo there on Friday nights from time to time. But we went into this little hardware store and I saw a pocket knife that I thought had to be mine, and I picked it up and I thought that I might be being watched, that we didn't have cameras and all of those kind of things, surveillance systems. And so I stuck that pocket knife in my shoe. And as we were leaving, the owner of the hardware store came to me and said, son, you took my pocket knife. And I said, I don't have a pocket knife. And I pulled my pockets out. And there was nothing in them. He said, get out of here. You know, that haunts me today. I don't know whatever happened to the pocket knife. That was a long time ago. I wasn't a Christian then. But it still haunts me because I took something that did not belong to me. See, we have very wicked hearts. Theft comes so easy to all of us. If I were to take a dollar from your wallet, that doesn't sound like very much, does it? Or if I were to take a stamp from the office or some paper, or a pencil. My heavens, I had a pencil in my pocket that said, I didn't know where it came from, but it said, this pencil was stolen from Pipe Creek Business Services. What? I think, Patricia, you have that. Now, where did you get that pen anyway?
Just came your way
when I threw it. Well, it does come easy, and we make excuses for our sin of stealing. You know, if your wife was dying, and it was the middle of the night, and she had to have a special medicine for her to stay alive, and the drugstore was closed, and you were to go down and break into that drugstore and steal that medicine, and take it home, give it to your wife, to save her life, would that be considered a sin? Absolutely. Because you're breaking God's law and you're breaking man's law. And the fact is, the Bible says that men don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry, but if he is found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all that he has in his house. And so, if a man steals to save his wife's life, he's stealing. There is no excuse for that. And he will be guilty of breaking both man's law and God's law. And it's so easy. And we're tempted. You know, most of us probably wouldn't steal something, but there are things that tempt us to steal. In 1993, an armored car was going down the interstate highway near Chicago, and a bag containing $600,000 fell out. And cars came screeching to a halt, and men and women were jumping out and running and grabbing all they could and stuffing their pockets full of bills. Motorcyclists were stopping and filling their helmets with these bills as they were flying around. There were two paramedics, by the way, that later turned in $120,000 of that $600,000. Not because they were good Samaritans, but simply because they thought it might be drug money and that it might be marked, and that they might be caught with it. Would you have been in that crowd? Would you have stopped? Would you have gathered all you could have gathered? And what would you have done with it? Could you be tempted to steal something that does not belong to you? If you found something that does not belong to you, would you try to find the rightful owner, or would you say, finders keepers, losers weepers? I'm wondering what you would do if $600,000 was fluttering down Highway 16 right now and you were out on the road. Would you stop? Would you gather it? And what would you do with it? It's not yours. It's stealing. So whether it is many, many dollars or just a single dollar in your wallet, God doesn't declare, well, that's just a small amount. It doesn't impress me, so I'll let you get by with that. This is a big amount. Oh, that's important. You can't get by with that. Whatever you steal, how big or how small, is simply stealing. Well, we try to make excuses. You know, my wife, I had to steal that loaf of bread because we were dying of hunger. It's still theft. You can't steal just to save your life because you're hungry. If you're hungry, go to work. That's one way to get bread. If you can't work, beg for it, ask for it. Pray to the Lord for what your needs are. God says that He will meet all of your needs, all of your needs. The more I studied this commandment, these four little words, the more I realized how many, many ways there are to steal. You know, we think of a thief as a cat burglar or a kleptomaniac or somebody robbing a bank. I think of the Enron story. Remember Enron? It doesn't exist anymore. Where we were thought big shot, reputable, high-classed, intelligent, educated leaders stole the retirement funds from a lot of people. Hundreds of millions of dollars, and left those people who had trusted them without a penny in retirement. And so, no, it's not just the thief. It's not just the cat burglar. It's not just the kleptomaniac. It's every one of us who does this. And how do we do it? Well, we steal from God and we steal from man. How do we steal from man? Well, the biggest thing going around now is identity theft, where I get a hold of your information and I go out and buy things and spend your money for things for me. Happens a million times a year in this country alone. You're stealing something. You're taking something that does not belong to you and using it for your benefit, for your wants, not for your needs. And then there's employee theft. 75% of employees steal. And at least half of those steal again and again and again. A third of the businesses that open up close because of employee theft. Can you imagine that? True story. My son, John, when he first got married, 21, 22 years old, went to work for Marshall Fields. Marshall Fields was a high-class men's store, and I guess women's store too. I don't remember. I didn't shop there. But he worked there, and he was hired to do janitorial work. And he became a very close friend with the armed guard who closed the store up every night, Marshall Fields. This security man was responsible for making sure that that store was safe when everybody was gone. One day the police came and escorted him away. They discovered that he had been, when he closed up, the first thing he would do would fill his car with electronics and clothing and whatever he could get into it. And he was doing it on a regular basis. The store was realizing that things were missing and they couldn't find out, so they set up a camera in the garage and found this man doing it. It broke my son's heart. It almost, not that item, but that kind of theft almost broke Marshall Fields. Well, by the way, they're not in San Antonio anymore. I think they were bought out because they were not doing so well down here. Then there's, employee theft. It doesn't have to be stealing a carload of electronics and clothing. It could be a stamp. It could be paper. It could be a pencil. It could be a paper clip, something that small. No, the company wouldn't miss that. And by the way, I do more for them than they do for me. They owe it to me. What does God say? Whatever you take that is not yours is stealing. And so it is. Whether it's folders or envelopes or stamps or staples or pencils or paper or even paper clips. Some people steal from the company with their time. They spend their time reading their emails or making personal calls or just goofing off when they're being paid to work. All sorts of ways that people steal from their business. Intellectual property theft. We make copies of songs that are on CDs. We make copies of DVDs, of movies. We make copies of software. We make copies of all of these things. Well, it's not hurting anything. I'm not taking from that person. I'm just making a copy of something that somebody's already bought. Well, the copyright belongs to someone else, and you've stolen it from them. Then there's shoplifting. 1 out of 11 people shoplift. Are you? Let's see, we have, 100 people in here? 9 of you are shoplifters, if the statistics were to follow. Hopefully none of you are shoplifters. You know who the shoplifters are? You think they're children? 25% of them are children. 75% of them are adults. And you know what? 90% of those adults could have bought it and paid for it cash when they stole it. There's something about the high that they get when you get by with it. I was able to take it. If you think not, look at some of the movie stars who have been caught shoplifting. Live in multi-million dollar mansions, making multi-millions of dollars, and they will go in and steal a dress. There's something wrong with that. It's our wicked, evil heart that we have. And it's so easy to do so. Well, you know what you can do? You can also deceive someone. You can trick them, or you can cheat them, or you can hold back the truth by telling the whole truth. You can lie to the IRS. I wonder, if you were to receive a letter in the mail that says, we want to audit your records, would you say, great, praise the Lord, here they are. How many could do that? Or would you jump into fear? No, I hope they don't find this, I hope they don't find that. How am I going to get around this? What's it going to cost me? If you have not cheated, then you can say, go for it. Another thing is defrauding someone. Bad checks, not paying bills when they're due, borrowing money without the intent of ever repaying, false insurance claims, false vouchers for expenses that you did not incur. How many ways there are to steal from others? You know, another way you can steal from someone is to steal their reputation through gossip, by talking about them, defaming them, talking and saying things that are not true to others, because it's always accepted as the truth by others. You know, if they said something good about you, they wouldn't believe it. They always want to hear something evil about you, and they always want to believe it. I think that's a pride thing. I think that it has to do with, I'm good and they're bad. And when I hear something bad about someone, I think, man, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm a good guy, not a bad guy. We can steal from them compassion if we don't give it, if we don't show courtesies, common courtesies to people that they deserve, and if we don't express them to them, a simple hello, a simple thank you, you're welcome. Something as simple as that is stealing something that belongs to them that you held back, that you did not give, that you kept for yourself. We can steal from God, by the way. The Bible tells us in Malachi that Malachi 3, 8 through 10 says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how did we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And I think that when a nation stops giving to the Lord, then God might remove his hand from that nation. That happened to the Israelites. And the nation of Israel does not exist today as it did then. We talked about in our Sunday school class, the land. It goes from the river in Egypt all the way to the Euphrates. You know, we talk about, well, Israel, you know, God gave that to the Israelites, so it belongs to them. They gave half or more than half of Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Lebanon, maybe even part of Turkey, is a part of the promised land. And yet they never owned it. They don't own it today. Today they fight over a small little strip, 50 miles wide, maybe 100 miles long, the promised land that God gave to them. Why'd that happen? Because they forgot their God. And they stopped their tithes and they stopped their offerings. And I think today when a nation stops that, as this nation, then God could remove his hand from us. Well, we also steal from God when we keep our talents and our spiritual gifts that he has given us to use in his church. This building is being expanded, and there are men who have great talents who come almost every day to use those talents, whether it's carpenters or electricians or whatever it might be. They come, they've given their time without expecting anything in return. God has also given us spiritual gifts, whether it's the gift of prayer, of faith, or giving, or helps, or administration. Are you holding that in and refusing to give it out? Chances are many of us don't even know what our spiritual gift is. And yet the Bible says that we all have a spiritual gift. So why aren't we sharing it? it's a part of, we're a part of the body. And if that one part, whether it's a foot or a toe or a head or an ear or an eye, is not functioning, then the body doesn't function the way it should function. Somehow we limp along, don't we, without those spiritual gifts that God has given you to be used in this church. We all have 24 hours every day, and we all decide how we're going to use that 24 hours. Many of us work, many of us are retired, many of us are young, many of us can't work, many of us, whatever we might do, we do. And we know in our hearts when God expects us to do something. We're having a work day this coming Saturday. I know that there are some people in here who have made plans already. We don't always know what we're going to... We can't tell you that 6 weeks from now we're going to have a work day because we're going to plan and do something. With the building construction, we know that the carpet may come in this week. The kitchen will be painted Monday, and we're going to be putting all of the kitchen equipment and supplies back in. And we don't want to put them in unless they're clean. What are you going to be doing Saturday? I don't know, but you know, and God knows. And so it's between you and the Lord. Nobody's going to jump you. Whether it's a work day or whether it's cleaning the sanctuary. You know, we can't find anybody to clean the sanctuary. We ought to be able to divide this up and every family take it for a week. You could do it once a year. We pay somebody to do it. Every church has the same problem with nurseries, by the way. Can't find anybody. But I know that's not so here. If there was a baby in this congregation, is there a baby here today? And if that baby started crying, you have one. And if I were the preacher, I would say, I need a volunteer for the nursery, and would have five or six people would jump up and help you out. That's what the Lord lays on our hearts, and that's what we should do. And so you see, stealing, is a sin against God. We hurt ourselves often. There's a story, it's supposedly a true story, about a man who, today the price of gas is so high that theft of gasoline, you know how it used to be, you could steal a tank full and run down the road and you'd stolen $20 worth. Not today. It's $60 or $80 or $100 worth, and it's becoming very, very common to do that. The story says that in the state of Washington, a 14-year-old boy decided to siphon some gas. And you know when you siphon gas, men, you suck the tube until you get it in your mouth, and then you spit it out, and you turn the hose down, and the gasoline comes out. Well, this man had gone to an RV camp, and he had put the hose in the black water tank and sucked it out. I understand that they didn't punish him. They thought he'd been punished enough. And so it does come back. It does come back. Might have been, George. It does come back and haunt us often. We are told that if we have a need, we are to pray for that need and to place our trust in the Lord who supplies our needs. If he takes care of the flowers in the field, and if he takes care of or if he knows the sparrow as it drops to the ground, then he will take excellent care of you and me. In Matthew 7, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And it also says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things that you think that you need will be given to you. And so what are our needs? There's only two or three needs we have, food and shelter. And maybe sometimes our clothing is our shelter. Jesus didn't have a home. He had clothes on his back, and he ate. And that's all the needs that you have. And when we decide to take something that doesn't belong to us, because we want it or need it, then we have said, I don't trust you, Lord. I don't think that you are going to meet my need. Therefore, I'm going to jump in and take care of myself without your help. And so, when we need something, there are three ways that we can get it. We can either get it as a gift. Someone will give it to you. And I know that you have received gifts. Yesterday, we had a wedding here, and there were gifts that were given to the new couple. Gifts. Free, no attachments. This is for you, Sue and Dusty. Enjoy. And so you can receive something through a gift. And this church, by the way, has gifted people who have had needs, who have come to us and said, we need help. We're not able to survive. And this church gives it with no strings attached. We don't loan money. The church is not in the loan business. If someone needs something, we give it to them. Another way that you can get what you need is to work. Work? Yes. Remember Adam and Eve? God put Adam to work. Two jobs. I want you to procreate. I want you to populate the earth. Number two, I want you to be responsible and accountable for the earth, the garden, the animals that are in it. They are your responsibility. Take care of them. The Bible also says that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. God's provided you with the opportunity and the ability and the skills and the wherewith to work. A third way to get something that you need is to steal it. You know, the first two of these ways are blessed by God. The last one is not. And so, we're all thieves. We've all stolen. I don't care if you stole a pocket knife when you were 12 years old and now you're retired. God looks at it as though it happened today. That's why it's important that we become Christians and claim the blood of Christ for forgiveness for our, as our sacrifice for our sins, so that we don't have to sacrifice an animal or even our own life. That life has been given for us. Oh, by the way, there is one thing that God does allow us to steal. That's second base. I want you to think today, Randall, come on up with your team. I want you to think today about what you are stealing from someone else. I don't care how small or how big it is. There are temptations, and we often fall into those temptations. And you might just look in your own heart and see the evil that's in it and ask the Lord to cleanse it and to give you the wherewithal to step forward and even go back to that person who you stole it from and say, here, I stole this from you. It's yours. Please forgive me. And I bet you that person would forgive. I know that he would. Even a non-Christian would be surprised to see somebody come back and say, I am sorry. I took this from you. It belongs to you. Let's all stand, please.